It was 100 years ago this week when residents of the southern part of New Jersey awoke to find mysterious tracks in the snow. The tracks went over and under fences, through fields and backyards, and across the rooftops of houses, and appeared in a single line as if the unknown creature that made them hopped on one foot or had a careful, mincing gait. Was it the Jersey Devil? In a moment, James McCloy joins us, the Jersey Devil, Phantom of the Pines. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Now we have a special two-hour report for you, this being the 100th anniversary of the Jersey Devil. James McCloy with us. James was with us some time ago. He's the author of The Jersey Devil, Phantom of the Pines, More Tales of the Jersey Devil. James, always a pleasure, my friend. How are you?
Okay, and yourself?
Good. 100 years since this thing's been going on, huh?
Right. It seems that long ago, but it was this very week, the third week in January of 1909, and throughout the Delaware Valley area of South Jersey, Philadelphia, Delaware, the area was covered by snow. And throughout it, we're seeing these mysterious footprints. And also, we have dozens of sightings at that time by regular citizens, as well as the mayor of certain areas, police and various others, and the whole Delaware Valley appeared to be in an uproar over the incident.
When this occurred some 100 years ago, did they think it might have been a hoax at the time?
There were a few hoaxes perpetrated at the time. A few people admitted that they added to it with the with putting fake feet on and this type of thing. But many thought something was really happening because the footprints were in an inaccessible location. They were found on rooftops, on tree limbs, parts of buildings, and various other places where some prankster couldn't have gotten to.
What sparked your interest in this, James?
Well, I'm originally from, you can call me Jim.
Okay.
I'm originally from South Jersey, and kind of grew up hearing about the Jersey Devil. In fact, when I first learned to read, I remember riding down Haddon Avenue in Camden, and there was a sign someone had painted, or, I guess graffiti-type thing on a bridge, Camden, New Jersey, home of the Jersey Devil. I remember asking my mother what that was. And growing up, you heard stories about it, and kiddingly, when we used to drive from the urban area down toward the shore through the Pine Barrens, we take a stick with us under the car. We always called it our Jersey Devil stick in case we were attacked, kind of like teenagers as a joke or something. But there you kind of grew up with it, hearing the various stories and tales. And just in the early 70s, we decided to do some research and came up with the first book, The Jersey Devil, and then later on, Phantom of the Pines, More Tales of the Jersey Devil, because there's just so many stories about it.
Absolutely. Were there ever any reports that somebody was hurt by this creature?
Very few. There was a report, according to legend, in the 1840s, the Jersey Devil was seen eating chickens and children. And occasionally you'll have them, but actually the reports of bothering people or attacking people, rather, are few and far between. And there's been no documented case.
Jim's, it was some, this Jersey Devil creature, sometimes called the Leeds Devil. How come?
Oh, right. Originally, it was called the Leeds Devil because of the Leeds family. Now, the Leeds family settled in South Jersey in the 1600s, were quite numerous. And even in today, if you look in the Atlantic County, New Jersey phone book, there's several columns of the Leeds. The family's still going strong. And anyhow, they became involved in various land, political, social controversies. And it was into this family that was attributed the birth of the Jersey Devil, which at the time they referred to him the Leeds Devil. And interestingly, a change takes place around 1909. Usually before 1909, usually referred to as the Leeds Devil. And then after 1909 is the Jersey Devil. But it's some people said it was the Shewards family, but basically, according to tradition, it was the born into the Leeds family.
Was this creature on their property?
At the time of
the sightings?
No, not necessarily. No, he's been all over.
Okay. Okay. Now, has the description, Jim, of the creature changed over these 100 years?
It's changed almost since the beginning. Because it is described as a devil or a demon, it does have the ability to change size and shape. And we've come across descriptions anywhere from 20 feet all the way down. It has the ability, supposedly, to shrink itself up and go through a keyhole.
Jeez.
And the kind of consensus figure is it has the body of a kangaroo, head of a collie, face of a horse, bat-like wings. It has claws or hooves, a long tail, and can breathe a fire or bad breath from its nose and mouth. Now that's the consensus description. It appears everything like sometimes in a Bigfoot-type form, other times sort of goat-like or bird-like or gargoyle. Once was described as a cow with a human head or a human with a cow head, and serpent-like. And so that's why you get these different descriptions. Bigfoot is always, you know, sort of similar, 7 or 8 feet tall, furry, but the Jersey Devil takes on a vast array of descriptions.
Is it similar at all with what we hear, the chupacabra?
Now, the chupacabra is kind of usually depicted as somewhat smaller. Or dog-like, or even that sometimes has a description. Sometimes the chupacabra almost appears to be, you know, like alien-like or something. So maybe in some of it's when you have some of these strange dogs, you could have, you know, a similar appearance to one of the Jersey Devils, you could say.
The creature has wings. Does it fly?
Oh, yes, it has wings. I meant to mention it does have wings, and it is able to fly on some of the things. Some of the descriptions, it has no wings, but it frequently does have them.
Now, when people have described the creature, Jim, what are some of the characteristics that they tie to it?
They also kind of sometimes mention the eyes. It sometimes has, like to talk about glowing eyes, or as a frequent thing about the either red or yellow. And it seems to let out terrible screams, very eerie noises. And again, these two things about the noises and the eyes sometimes fit, you know, despite what the various descriptions are. And again, wings are very common. It's sort of common for people to encounter the thing, you know, when they least expect it, and then report that it flew off. If it's, you know, if it's of the wing variety at the time.
Is it spotted? Has it been spotted more during the daytime or nighttime?
No, that's a good question. I think probably a little bit of both. You get a number of sightings right as right at dusk, and people have a hard time describing what it is. You know, they catch a glimpse of something running along. And sometimes they say different times of the year around. Halloween is a popular sighting time. And also January. I mean, it appears all times of the year, but January, of course, the big 100th anniversary, but also other times in January, at one of its favorite months for some reason.
Might it be a large bird, Jim?
It could be. There's all sorts of theories what it is. One of these being the sandhill crane, which was somewhat common in the area in the years past, but in recent years due to development and so forth is very rare. But again, you run into the problem of the various descriptions. You know, you could say, well, somebody saw the Jersey Devil, it was definitely the sandhill crane or another large bird, but then you have to, you know, explain all the other sightings where it didn't look in a, you know, in a bird-like manner.
Over the years, approximately how many people have reported seeing this creature with good reports?
I would say, well, that's hard to say because we never really counted them. Probably, I guess, somewhere in a, well, I'd say probably a high elite, you know, well, it's hard to, I'd say 100 or even hundreds. There is a group called the Jersey Devil Hunters, and they have a website. It's NJDevilHunters.com, and they keep current on all the sightings.
And these reports continue then?
Right. Oh, yeah, we have them up. I have one here up to October 1st of 2008. So these aren't something that are, you know, relegated to the past. And these things continue on, you know, through today.
Now, when they report the sighting, what did they say?
Well, here's one. I'll just give you the one from October 1st of 2008.
Okay.
This was in Jackson, New Jersey. Man was out walking his dog, heard a shrub rattling, thought it was nothing more than a deer. Said, to my sudden horror, I locked eyes with a most deformed figure beneath a bush. My dog failed to bark, and she started to tremble. The strange creature had a high-pitched grunt. Spreading its wings, it jumped into the air, perched on a high branch, whipped the brush had behind. It towered over my stature of 5'8", had a wingspan, must have been 3 feet. It was brown in color and a mixture of various animals.
Jeez, so people,
that was just a few, you know, just a few months ago in October.
People are definitely, I mean, if you were to bet, Jim, if you were to bet, would you say people are seeing some kind of a creature? We don't know what it is, but they're seeing something. They're not making it up.
Right. No, they're seeing something. You know, what it could be. I mean, it could be the Jersey Devil. Could be a dog. Could be a
large owl, right?
Animal. Yeah, an owl. Could be all sorts of things that, you know, people aren't familiar with. Sometimes people will move into a, you know, go from an urban area into maybe a suburban area that's just being built, or into a wooded area and may not be familiar with all the animals.
Could the Jersey Devil and Mothman be one of the same?
I guess it's possible, but I sort of doubt it. I think Mothman only appeared for a relatively brief period and then disappeared, where the Jersey Devil's been ongoing, you know, for hundreds of years.
True. Now, was it Mothman that appeared before tragedies, or was it the Jersey Devil?
The Jersey Devil is said to appear before wars, but, and you know, there were stories that he appeared before wars, or he appeared every 7 years, but if you look at the dates, this doesn't hold up. Also, unfortunately, there's usually a war going on somewhere.
Yeah, so, exactly.
No, he did appear on December 7th, 1941, you know, Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm,
thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't seem to be a real tie-in that he appears and then there's a, you know, some sort of a calamity after that.
What were some of the stories of sightings way gone back?
Some of the very early ones, one of the earliest written ones is in a diary by Vance Larner. And he was up in what today is Lebanon State Forest, or Brendan Burns State Forest today, said he saw this huge creature with legs the size of tree trunks, had huge wings, and he watched it for several minutes, and it let out a hideous screams and flew up into the air. Stephen Decatur, early American naval hero, fought the Barbary Pirates in North Africa, was testing cannonballs down in the Pine Barrens. Supposedly saw the Jersey Devil flying across the range, drilled a hole through it, or shot the cannon. The hole went right through the devil, but the next time it appeared, he had grown back together. Joseph Bonaparte, brother of Napoleon, lived in South Jersey for a while after Napoleon's overthrow, supposedly encountered the devil. And in one description, it carried in the 1848, this is a well-described event in Atlantic Monthly Magazine of 1848, a man from New York was down visiting in the Pine Barrens with a friend there. They were walking through the woods, and they came across an old woman named Anna Butler. And she and her male companion were so poor that they lived in a lean-to up against a tree. And it started to thunder, and Anna started to shake, and they asked her what was wrong. And she said, it's a storm like the Jersey Devil. So to her, whenever it thundered, the Jersey Devil was, or she called it the Leeds Devil, was about to appear, and her male companion told her, don't even mention that. It's, you know, bad luck. And they went and hid inside their lean-to there. And so that's one of the early, you know, well-written, you know, stories.
And though we get a lot of terrestrial land-based sightings, there have also been some sea stories.
There's a number of sea stories with the Jersey Devil. The one being Captain Kidd. Now, Captain Kidd supposedly buried some treasure along the Jersey shore and then cut the head off one of his men so the headless ghost would guard the treasure. Interesting thing is that Captain Kidd was hanged in 1701, but the Jersey Devil earliest birthday is 1735. Anyhow, supposedly, I guess the headless pirate stayed around for a number of years and took up residence or took up a companionship with the Jersey Devil. Another story was the ship went down. The only survivor was a little black dog and became a companion of the Jersey Devil. And even after the little dog died, I guess the ghost came back. Jersey Devil sometimes reported causing storms along the coast. Also reported sitting along the water looking for sinking ships to laugh at. And one of the more interesting stories is the beautiful golden-haired girl. And this was many years ago in Manasquan, was a beautiful golden-haired girl. She was engaged to a sailor who was to make his last trip before they were to be married. Right before he left, they had a lover's quarrel. He took off to sea. She ran down thinking maybe she would catch him before he left. She got to the shore just to see his ship go across the horizon. Anyhow, he never returned. The ship probably sank. And each day she walked up and down the beach looking for her fiancé to return. She died at a very young age, and people thought that was the end of it. But the day after she died, her ghost appeared. And her ghost glided up and down the sands of Manasquan looking for her fiancé. And she would ask people, "Have you seen him?" And if you said no, she cursed you with 7 years bad luck. But sometimes she was seen accompanied by the Jersey Devil. He already had his share of bad luck, so it wouldn't bother him any. And the two were seen gliding hand in hand across the sands of the Manasquan beach. And, of course, anybody who saw them coming and got out of the way rather quickly.
What are the chances, Jim, of this thing being extraterrestrial?
I guess as good as anything else, like I say, because it is for descriptions and everything else. I guess anything, any theory or anything like that is possible. I've never heard that, theory per se.
I've heard, though, a lot that it could be a pterodactyl.
That was one story, that it was a leftover dinosaur that somehow or other it hid. And there was all sorts of stories that somehow or other it hid or lived in a cavern underground, and some sort of an earthquake or something, sprung it free.
Does science get involved in this at all? Does there seem to be any interest to find out what this creature might be?
Not, I think, from the official scientific community per se. Again, there's been various people look into it, and some scientists kind of Pod or something. It was one man at the Academy of Natural Sciences in Philadelphia. He was trying to present natural things and so forth, and being in Philadelphia frequently got asked about the Jersey Devil, and he got a little bit disgruntled because he says, "I want to talk about things that we can document, or we have bones or fossils or something, and not the Jersey Devil itself." Now, one time, the Philadelphia Zoo, back during the 1909 scare, the Philadelphia Zoo supposedly talked about putting up $10,000 for the capture of the creature and building a special cage if it were caught and put on exhibition.
When we come back, Jim, let's find out if anybody came close to capturing this creature. I'm George Norrie. We're talking about the Jersey Devil right here on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, join me for a special get-together aboard the Haunted Queen Mary, Long Beach, California. I'll be there this Sunday, January 25th from 1 to 3 p.m. For more information, go to the coasttocoastam.com website. Click the calendar there that you'll see, and then Ghost Fest 3. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We're with Jim McCloy. Jim is the author of several books on the Jersey Devil. One, The Jersey Devil. The other, Phantom of the Pines. Jim, has anybody ever gotten close to capturing the creature?
No, there's been various attempts. Interestingly, people who often go in the search of Jersey Devil, either to try and capture him or capture a picture of him or something else, don't have too much luck. And people are more likely to see him when they're not expecting it. It'll run across the road or they'll catch a glimpse of the creature. The only actual report of a supposed capture was during the famous 1909 a week. And this was the 9th and Arch Street Museum in Philadelphia. And there, Norman Jeffries, who was the publicist for the institution, claimed to have captured the Jersey Devil. And this is one of the more famous hoaxes. And what he had done was he had rented a kangaroo from Buffalo, New York, put some paint on the thing, and the paint didn't agree with the poor kangaroo. It got sick, so they switched paint. And they put the paper mache wings on it. And they put it in his large cage, or some bones around the cage there. And people would come in. They had big lines of people. For 10 cents, you got to see the Jersey Devil, a Hall of Curios, and a vaudeville show. can't beat the price on that.
No.
And so the people would come in into a room. The curtains were pulled open. Here was this poor kangaroo. And a young boy in back of the cage took this pole and poked the poor animal. Thing jumped. All the people screamed, and curtains were closed. The next crowd brought in. So that's the only particular story of actual capture. Now, there are a couple stories of where the Jersey Devil was supposedly killed or injured. One was in the 1920s. Supposedly, his remains were sent to the veterinary school at the University of Pennsylvania, but nothing could be found on that.
No records there.
No, and then one time there was some eerie remains found in the Pine Barrens in the 1950s, but some people thought it was a leftover from some taxidermist sort of making a joke or something. And so either dead or alive, the Jersey Devil is still on the loose.
There are a lot of contemporary theorists still believe the Jersey Devil is a very rare, unclassified species which just attempts to avoid human beings.
Right, it could be. Now, it's frequently associated with the Pine Barrens, or Pine Lands, they like to call them today, which is rather remote. And even people who don't believe in the Jersey Devil have spent time in there, hunters and naturalists and so forth. Many of them claim that they've heard sounds which they can't explain, and these are people who are familiar with the wildlife of the area, so they've heard sounds which they can't explain. And others have said they've seen a mysterious footprint. Interestingly, footprints, there's been casts made of them, but the casts have disappeared one way or the other. And even one time down around Batso, the co-author and I found some mysterious footprints, took photos of them, and asked different park rangers and hunters and so forth if they were familiar with these footprints, and none of them were. And mysteriously, the photos disappeared. I have no idea what happened to them. They just one day they were gone. So it's very, very strange.
Jim, there must be several of these creatures. They must be breeding. They must have offspring for them to exist so long.
Right. That's what the for the things keep going since 1735. But it's usually referred to in the singular masculine form, like the Jersey Devil he and so forth. But like I say, you would have this one thing that's alive for pushing 300 years now.
It truly is a remarkable story. Later on next hour, we'll take some phone calls,
okay,
Jim, from people, specifically if there's anybody in that region who might have seen something. I think it's great, too, the way the myth or the legend or the story continues over all these hundreds of years.
Right. Some of these things you'll have, like, say, Mothman was a relatively short appearance. Or 15 years ago, you had a Chessie, sort of a Loch Ness type thing,
right,
appeared in Chesapeake Bay, but it wasn't around for that long. And some of the other creatures, you'll see the appearances are few and far between, or they haven't been seen in years. But again, the Jersey Devil is pretty steady from 1735 all the way up until, October 2008. And again, this isn't something that, every 10 years somebody catches something out of the corner of their eyes. These are different things. And even if people may not say, well, I saw some strange thing and it's not the Jersey Devil, they're still seeing some odd animal or, something out of the ordinary. I mean, some people you can attribute it to, well, they, didn't really see the thing fully or it was dark and, they think they saw this and it was something else.
Are more of these reports, Jim, of the creature on the ground or the creature flying?
Frequently it's on the ground. It usually starts out on the ground and then it'll take off and fly away, assuming it's got the wings. Sometimes they don't have the wings. But it's very frequent to be on the ground, hopping around, encountering the person, and then it takes off. This is where you go about the story about it ever attacking people. Is not, I said before, not too many. And usually when there's an encounter between the Jersey Devil and the person, it's more often these days the Jersey Devil's the one who will take flight.
Do you know if any of these witnesses have been given any polygraph tests?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Now, some of them will swear that it's what they've seen, and I've talked to people and say, I know what I saw, and I don't care if people believe me or not. They're definite what they believe they've seen.
Here's some Jersey Devil facts. 1960, merchants around Camden, New Jersey, offered a $10,000 reward for the capture of the Jersey Devil. So far, the reward is unclaimed. I guess, is the money still there? Do you know?
I don't know, but I think maybe they went to the new aquarium in Camden and the battleship New Jersey trying to revitalize the waterfront instead of the Jersey Devil. They offered $10,000, and then also around the same time, the Hunt Brothers Circus, which is now defunct, they offered, I believe it was $100,000. And they claimed they wanted to put the Abominable Snowman and the Jersey Devil together for the greatest show on Earth. And so far, none of the rewards, if they are still out there, none have been collected.
Well, it must have been so much influence. A hockey team was named after it.
Right. The hockey team, the New Jersey Devils. Some people think it's just like the Devils. There are other teams named after the Devils. But it was the name for the New Jersey Devils. A New Jersey Devil, and they had, I believe, a vote or people putting, I forget how exactly it came about, I don't know if they had a vote on it or, people submitting names, and they decided to go with that. So a lot of people don't realize what they were actually named after.
Tell me, Jim, some of the efforts for your work when you put together the Jersey Devil and the Phantom of the Pines.
It's very interesting to do because you get to read through old records, going through old newspapers and accounts, and the most interesting thing is talking to the people. And we came across one woman, Mary Lasasso, who was raised in the Pine Barrens. So she was one of a number of children. Her father made a living picking sphagnum moss and just, basically living off the land. And she was the one that said when she was younger saw the Jersey Devil. She said it was all hairy and furry and had a chain wrapped around. I was walking on all fours.
Jeez.
And she ran in and hid, found a neighbor's house that was open and hid under the bed, and her mother found her there sometime later. And she's been telling this story, and her daughter kind of says to her, I wish, mother, I wish you wouldn't tell this story because, people are not going to believe you or you'll think you're a little bit odd or something.
Yeah,
else. And she
insists,
I saw this thing, and I don't care what people think, I saw the Jersey Devil. And another man had an experience that back in the 1920s when he was a young child, he and two uncles had gone fishing, and they were walking back to the home, and supposedly the Jersey Devil was following, and the one uncle grabbed him and ran, and the other uncle started flipping fish that they had caught on the road, so this would slow down the Jersey Devil while it ate the fish. And another woman said she saw the Jersey Devil as a child running around the poles. They had some, bean poles up against the tree. Said she saw the Jersey Devil. Another woman said she saw the marks in 1909. Of course, we talked to her in the 1970s, so she was probably in her 70s at the time, and said she saw the marks of the footprints of the Jersey Devil all around her yard in 1909, and her mother told her that was the Jersey Devil. And various other people we've talked to said, I know what I saw, and I don't care what people think. Now, of course, you do run into some people who maybe, make things up or whatever, and people swear they've seen it. Now, even if somebody makes up a story, say they just completely make up a Jersey Devil story and pass it on, and in time that'll become even part of the folklore. They'll be passed on as a actual incident, even though it wasn't.
Jim, did you ever come across anyone who just looked like they broke down telling you a story about their sighting?
No, not really, no.
All right.
They all seem to be, they might say they were, kind of frightened at the time, or, but nobody really got too emotional over it.
In Freehold, New Jersey, 2007, a woman sees a huge creature with bat-like wings, she says, near her home. Can you imagine seeing that next to your home or just outside? Some huge creature with the bat-like wings?
I know. It can be, it appears, like right where people live. So it's not something you might see while driving along a dark road. This thing might come right into your yard. One man in the 1960s and 70s, they lived in the Freehold area again, Howell Township, not too far from Freehold, and lived in near woods. And he said every night the Jersey Devil came into his yard and came to a path in the woods, and one night he strung a barbed wire across the area, and the next morning the barbed wire was just torn to shreds as though it had been straw or something like
that. How do people, Jim, describe the scream or the sound?
It's always kind of like hideous. It's always like kind of chilling. Sometimes they describe it as a person in distress, or sometimes I guess sort of like an animal. It's kind of always like high-pitched, and they describe it as eerie.
More animal than human?
No, some people said it's, some have said it sounds like a human in distress. So again, I think you get a little bit of a, variation there, but
yeah.
It seems to be a high-pitched scream.
What does your gut tell you what this could be?
I don't know. I'm always thinking about this thing for years, and could be a combination of many things. Could be something like the sandhill crane. Could even be animals. Sometimes like a rabbit will make a noise. Most people don't realize a rabbit will make a noise when a rabbit
grabs
by something. It lets out a noise.
It's a big rabbit, Jim.
Right.
It's the Easter bunny.
I mean, when something is grabbed, to hear the noise, and it's the rabbit noise, not the creature noise.
Could they be wild kangaroos that somehow are in this part of the country?
Probably unlikely. Or I think somebody would have, come across one of them.
Yeah.
They say there's different, the old demising, the Indians used to have a tradition where somebody would dress up like in a skin and kind of, pretend to be an animal and so forth. And the early settlers might have seen this. Another theory is that the, and this goes all the way back to the Leeds family in 1735, where William Leeds left the money in his will, this is a written will, to his troublesome brother. And it doesn't go into detail what he means by troublesome brother. But back in those days, and even up until relatively recently, well into the 20th century, if people had a, say, maybe a physically or mentally challenged member of the family, that they didn't want to, talk about or keep out of sight, they would literally keep the person inside the house. And this is the one theory that this troublesome brother, the Leeds, because of their political land and other controversies, was called the Jersey, he became the Leeds or the Jersey Devil. So that's another thing that they say, before they kept these unfortunate people locked up until, recently.
Any photos of this creature?
No. One person a few years ago, when there was a fire in the Pine Barrens, said he could see the outline of the Jersey Devil in the fire, but if you look at the flames in a fire, you can sort of make out anything. And again, people, when they go out there with a camera, don't see anything, and then they, when they're not ready, that's when they see something. Now, today, with cell phone pictures and more video recorders and everything else, security cameras all over the place, you think that maybe sooner or later one will turn up.
Does the local media out in the New Jersey area still report on this creature?
At times. Yeah, of course, the favorite time is always Halloween. They sometimes do a Jersey Devil story. And other times, the newspaper will pick up, or occasionally one of the TV or radio outlets, occasionally will pick up some sighting of mysterious footprints, or not so much footprints, but animals being killed. Periodically, you'll get there haven't been any large numbers lately, but in the 1970s, you had a number of pigs were killed, and their blood, they could find the blood of, several feet off the ground as though something were carrying the pig, and then hundreds of yards away, they found the mutilated pig. And so you get reports of this where animals are killed. Oh, about the, also in the 1980s, there was a number of rabbits and small animals killed in Pennsylvania. So these things do get the media coverage.
And the size, again, varies, doesn't it?
Right. Like I said, it could, according to one tradition, the thing can shrink itself up and go through a keyhole.
Now, that's kind of bizarre, I
guess. Yeah, and other times you'll see, like, these footprints along, which appear to be fairly heavy, or, you know, from a heavy, relatively heavy creature.
Right.
And then they'll continue, like, going under a camper, like a camper out in the woods, you know, it's the bottom of a camper, the ground's only, you know, what, a foot or two, something like that. And that the footprints are the same depth under the camper, and then continue on the other side of the camper.
Any reports of this creature swooping down on cars or anything like that?
In 1909, it supposedly buzzed a trolley in Haddon Heights, frightened people. And after that, reportedly, trolley car drivers in Trenton and New Brunswick actually hired a shotgun riders to ride along and ward off any attacks of their public transportation.
The Two Works, Jersey Devil, Phantom of the Pines, still available, Jim?
Right, they're still available. Jersey Devil came out in 1976, still in print, and Phantom of the Pines, more Tales of the Jersey Devil came out in 1998, and that's still in print.
Oh, these are great stories. I guess you could be called an expert now on the Jersey Devil.
I guess so.
There's an old movie that came out on the Jersey Devil, sort of. It was a fictional movie called 13th Child. Did you ever see that one?
Right. This one came out a few years ago. It stars a...
Low budget.
Right, low budget. It stars a Dale... Dale...
See? Really low budget.
Yeah. He won the Academy Award. I can't say Dale Robertson. It's not Robert.
We'll get it.
Cliff Robertson.
Cliff, okay.
He won the Academy Award for Charlie in
1960
sometime.
Yeah.
But he was in the star of it. I think Leslie Ann Day, I think Robert Guillaume was in there also, I believe. So it's a fairly, well-known cast, but it was a low-budget thing and really never took off.
It was made in 2002.
Okay, 2002.
And it was based on the legend of the Jersey Devil. Quite a movie. At least somebody did something on it, though, huh?
Right. There's been different ones. There's been some documentaries made on it. And unfortunately, this one didn't really get off the ground. So I think the definitive Jersey Devil movies are still yet to appear.
Well, let's take some phone calls when we come back for the final hour with you, Jim. And if anybody also lives in the New Jersey area and you want to tell us about what you've heard, check in with us as well. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.